Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cordell Stewart, appreciate the time. Congrats on the podcast. How you been?
Good, Zach. I can't complain, brother. Just, you know, trying to stay busy, get myself back in the game. You know, I was off for a little while. Was coaching at my son's high school and raising him and trying to get him off to college, where I gave so much time to him, I almost forgot about myself a little bit. But now I'm back, and I'm hanging out with you for a moment.
Hey, what was that like, coaching your son in high school football?
It was excellent because it was easy. He already understood the nuances of what it was the quarterback thinks about, to the routes that he had to run, to, you know, being able to pass protect when having to protect, because he played wide receiver and also he played corner. So kind of giving him both sides of the field to where when he steps on it, he knows what to anticipate from an offensive standpoint as well as a defense standpoint. But it was a lot of fun. But over time, man, it's work. It's real work because you're dealing with about 50 to 100 other kids too as well, because you're not just dealing with your own, you're dealing with the other kids also. So it was a great experience, a lot of fun, but now it's time for me to dive myself back into this world called football and everything else that is sports included. So I'm loving it.
And your son's going to your alma mater, right, Colorado?
Well, actually, he went there for the first semester, and now he's back here in Atlanta going to Georgia State. You know, I got him out there, and he had a good time, but he didn't want to be out there. He preferred to bring him back home and go to a school closer to home. You know how that goes sometimes. And it's understood, you know, and he's not playing ball. So he's doing his thing, going to school, getting education and working and all that good stuff. So as much as I supported him playing the game, I have to also support him and wanting to do what he wants to do with his life. So he's doing a very good job. I'm proud of him. And can ask for it to be any other way far as what it is he wants to do to support him.
Was there ever any skepticism of allowing your son to play football? Because that's always a conversation that we have nowadays.
At the beginning stages, it was, you know, he has a mom, so you got to hear that sentiment too as well. But the part that I injected into the process, which was understanding what you're getting yourself into and how hard you have to work to be able to sustain the hits, to be able to process through the tough times and having to persevere when things aren't as glorious as they are when we're in the air conditioned room talking film or one-on-one, he and I practicing, to even just in practice, you know, games and circumstances sometimes can change. So just getting his mind right for it, because, you know, you have to be somewhat a little different to want to go out and do that and bang, bang all the time out on the football field. And, you know, he kind of stayed out of the bang, bang part of it because he played wide receiver and corner and a little bit of safety. But, you know, he enjoyed it. He gave it a great run, and if I had to do it again, I would, because he liked it, and I wasn't too nervous. I just the game has changed so much, so to where if you put yourself in harm's way to that extent, sometimes you're not paying attention to techniques of how to tackle and things of that nature. But freak accidents do happen. But he came out pretty good, and it's all good.
Cordell Stewart here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. How do you look at the way the quarterback position has changed? And do you ever wonder what it would be like, especially with your style of play, to play in the game now where you see a lot of dual threat quarterbacks?
It'd be just like we see it. All the analysts are speaking with knowledge about the mobile quarterback. It's not the conversations of great throw. You know, if he can only put it here, wobbly throw, as opposed to now it's, It's about the athleticism. It's about the ability to be able to run a 50-yard run and come back and hit a post route on the money. It's like people are becoming more enamored and excited about seeing that style of play, but most importantly, wanting to see it be effective and efficient during the big games, like in the postseason. So it's good to see it. You know, I guess I can say selfishly that the Steelers fan can truly embrace it, what we did back then, even though it wasn't as accepted or appreciated like it is now. Look at Kyler Murray. You know, the size doesn't matter, right? 5'9", he comes in, he's just as mobile. Lamar Jackson, you know, him not wanting to run the 40 to prove a point that he is just a quarterback, and he is. He is. It's kind of depressing to know that he's not in the top 10 in the league, but, you know, who am I? I'm just a guy that just started his podcast, and I just like to talk about it a little bit. But, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, he's steadily doing what he does. Even Josh Allen, for the sake of conversation. Ben Roethlisberger, who's just retired from the Steelers. You know, most quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, most quarterbacks in the game today are just what we were doing back in the day. And it wasn't the veer option. It wasn't the wildcat. It was us dropping straight back, play action pass, making plays with my feet, keeping the pocket on the move, which is what we see with most quarterbacks today. There's probably one that we can say that doesn't need it, but he moves when he has to, and that's in Tom Brady, because he's mastered the position so well with the things that he has around him and the things he's capable of doing. But it's marvelous to see it. It makes all that hard work justifiable, if you will, when it comes to it wasn't just a flash in the pan. It's now happening holistically across the league. They're looking for quarterbacks now to have that ability, because if not, the guys on the defensive side are so fast with their sizes. So it's a natural, you know, rotation of how this thing works. And the faster quarterbacks get, the slimmer and faster the defensive linemen gonna get, you know, and then the taller, and then before you know it, the cornerbacks. I mean, all of it. It's just the game has just sped up so much to the point where you have no choice but to have a mobile quarterback in the game today.
Cordell Stewart here with us. I love the way that you talked about Lamar Jackson, because I'm a huge believer in Lamar, and I know we're now in a society where we expect everything to happen so quickly. And even for him, the guy's been an MVP his first 4 years in the league. I know he hasn't had great postseason success, but it's baffling to me how people look at Lamar, what he's done the first 4 years in the league, and go, oh, that guy can't win a Super Bowl.
I mean, hey, Manning had a hard time getting to a Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he threw wobbly balls, right? Tom Brady was his nemesis, right? I mean, he couldn't get past the first playoff game, right? I mean, I'm saying this about somewhat of his stature because he even went through it, right? So this guy, Lamar Jackson, is the truth. I don't care what anyone says. For some reason, they want more from him. I don't know what more he can do other than win in the playoffs to get to a Super Bowl. But how many quarterbacks that are our top-tier quarterbacks get those opportunities? How many times has Aaron Rodgers got to the NFC Championship game and went home? How many times? And we considered him as one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterbacks in Green Bay Packer history. We're saying that now, but he can't get past the hump of winning the NFC Championship game. But it's Aaron Rodgers, and we choose to like Aaron Rodgers. Lamar Jackson, typecast him, put him in whatever place you want to put him in to figure out what that looks like to the mind's eye of many that don't accept that style of play. He is the piece that makes it happen in Baltimore. He is a top 10, top 5 tier quarterback in the National Football League. He does everything that you ask him to do. One thing I don't think we talk about, Zach, but check this part out. Most quarterbacks that come in the league early, they have a hard time throwing the ball across the middle. Think about that for a second. Why is that? Because there's a lot of moving parts. Even in this era where there's the spread style offense, right, where quarterbacks on the shotgun just calling it from the line of scrimmage, you normally see the hitch routes, the comebacks, the curls, maybe the digs where it's outside of the hash mark. He's throwing it to his tight ends and everyone that's on the football field in between the hash marks on a consistent basis. That's what he does. And he can throw the ball up and down over the linebackers, and he can throw it and thread the needle between the linebackers. So I don't know what else they want from the young man other than him winning the Super Bowl. And if that's the case, we might as well be frustrated and upset with many more around in the league because they're not getting it done either.
Cordell Stewart here with us. I got to get to your Steelers. I know that you're going to have Mitch Trubisky start game number one of the preseason. All three quarterbacks are going to play. When it's game one of the regular season, is your expectation that it's going to be Trubisky from the start?
I'll give it to Mitchell Trubisky just to allow the anxiety and the pressures of expectations at that position, considering what's been taking place at it. With Ben Roethlisberger taking them to three Super Bowls. You know, you can get spoiled as a fan base. You know, you can get spoiled as the media to know what you remember about an organization and a team and what they've done over the years. For me, I think it will be Mitchell Trubisky that leads the helm to get them jump-started. I think we could put emphasis on who's up next to give them an opportunity if we choose to. You know, but I'm not thinking about that right now. I think the veteran of the crew goes in and gets it done the best way he possibly can. And Kenny Pickett, he gets his opportunity. I think as time progresses and he gets a chance to learn the ways of playing in the National Football League to where the move at the 20th pick in the first round makes sense to the audience, as well as the organization. So I think Mike Tomlin, he's locked in on being the head coach for this organization. I don't think there's no warmth, if you will, around that seat at all. I think it's pretty cool. It's just a matter of figuring out what pieces can we put together as a team, considering this transition slash starting over, if you will, that we have to try to figure out how can we keep Najee Harris upright, because we know he's a piece on offense that's going to make it work, and the defense is going to have to help. So I think it remains open, but for me, if I had to, I'm not a betting guy, but if I just still happen to decide to, I think I would go with Mitch Trubisky.
Here's what I wonder, Cordell Stewart, because the other day everyone latched on to the Mike Tomlin quote to Brian McFadden that if they had to start a game tomorrow, it would be Mitch Trubisky. But he also said the other two guys in Rudolph and Pickett are making this a very tough decision. If it's close, I just keep on thinking, okay, and I heard what you said about the experience and waiting a little bit with also Ben of the pass, but if it's a close decision, I would go with Pickett and just get this next era started right now.
No, because see, it's almost like fool's gold, right? It's preseason. Teams don't have time to game plan for you. So now then what do you resort to? Once you put Pickett on the bench, you go to Rudolph and forget about Mitchell Trubisky? No, you allow Mitchell Trubisky to come in, figure it out, give him like the first 4 to 6 games or so, allow him to get his feet wet, make the mistakes, allow the young man Pickett on the sideline as well as Rudolph to learn and watch, but give the veteran the opportunity to come in to earn his keeps, to where if we do decide to not have him there, this is behind-the-scenes talk. No one else is listening to you and I, Zach. No one is listening. You give him an opportunity to create some film to move forward, right? And you then give, I would say, the scepter over to a Zach. But Pickett. But I wouldn't, Zach, take that chance of putting him in, starting off my season, trying to figure out what are these defenses going to disguise? Because they're not going to show everything in a preseason. Remember, this preseason has been condensed. It's going to be about the younger players trying to figure out how we could fill in the back end of our roster for depth purposes. So now when you create that, you then put Pickett in week one, not knowing what blitzes from the side. I wouldn't do it. I think it's too risque to do that. I would go with Mitchell Trubisky, as Coach Tomlin mentioned, because that's the safe way to go, but also keeping it competitive in conversation to the media as well as everyone around, is these other two guys aren't bad.
So it sounds like what you're saying, if you start Pickett week one, there's a genuine fear that you have, Cordell Stewart, that they could ruin him when teams make adjustments.
Hey, you said it, I did. But yeah, you can accidentally put him in the position to feel like he has to play perfect in order to stay in. And that's pressure for a young player. Yes, he's your first rounder. Sure, he's a 20th overall pick. A lot of people had questions about it. All of that great stuff. But you also brought in a Mitchell Trubisky with him understanding what the lay of the land is, which is you're going to get your opportunity to compete for the starting job. We know what our future is. But if you just come in and play, we don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea. I mean, look what happened with Lance and also Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco and also with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. Like, we grab these quarterbacks early in the draft, and all of a sudden, because the veterans are playing solid football, even though Jimmy Garoppolo may be the one out, but I'm just saying as they went through the process to grab these quarterbacks early in the draft, you had veterans there that if they play good enough, they're going to stay. What's the purpose of we get rid of him if he's given us an opportunity to win some big games and have a chance to go to a Super Bowl? And that's what I'm sure the Steelers are hoping could happen with a Mitchell Trubisky, to the point where they don't have to resort to putting a picket in. So they can have the Steelers basically have their cake and they'll be able to eat it too.
Isn't that an unrealistic thought, thinking that Mitch Trubisky is going to turn his career around?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look what happened with Bradford that left out of Detroit. His numbers are phenomenal. And he has Hall of Fame numbers while playing in Detroit and not having a chance to breathe a championship. But then he takes that to a talented team where the organization by Sean McVay is actually playing lights out football ever since he stepped on the grounds there in L.A. And look what happens in his first year. He goes to a Super Bowl, he wins it. So it's just a matter of some time if you have a chance to get in a good situation. Chicago, they did the best they could. He fell under a tough situation with Josh Allen being there in Buffalo. No chance in the world he would have a chance to be on the field there unless it was an injury.
Exactly.
But when you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, here's an opportunity for him, and they're going to try to – trust me, at the expense of Mitchell Trubisky screwing it up, the Steelers aren't going to be happy with that. They're not going to do that. That's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to win. They want to win with him. They know what the future is. But in the interim, right now, today, in the right now future, they want to win. And they want to put the best guy in. And if Coach Tomlin is mentioning, if we had to go with someone today, it's Mitchell Trubisky, I have to say I plan on seeing Mitchell Trubisky unless something out of this world with Pickett or Rudolph actually comes in and happened during the preseason to where you have no choice but to start one of those other guys. But I'm going with Mitchell Trubisky.
Before we let you run, Cordell Stewart, I want to play you this Chase Claypool audio. We know after the Browns beat the Steelers in the postseason, Chase Claypool had some things to say about the Browns after a losing effort. And last year there was an issue up against Minnesota where he was celebrating and not getting up. The ball back to the referee to get the ball snapped. This is Chase Claypool on the ceiling for the Steelers offense this season. Take a listen.
I think we can be the best offense in the country as long as we do all the right things. We got to stay healthy and we got to execute plays. But I think there is no ceiling for us. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are going to, get on my head for that. But, I believe that, and as I should.
He even said it, Cordell Stewart. He knows that a lot of people are going to get on him for saying these things. If you were him, would you maybe not have said that just because of some of the things he said in the past?
There's nothing wrong with him saying that. He's a competitor. I think sometimes now I'm playing the media and I'm playing the player and a coach, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes from a media standpoint, when you hear that type of stuff, it's like, we're going to take that, we're going to put it inside of a gift package, a wrap, and we're going to hold it there until it's time to pull it up and say, this is what you said. What else do you expect him to say? As a player, I don't have a problem with it.
He should have
as
confidence.
A coach, yes, and the worst thing you could do is buy into the narrative is that we don't know for sure if Mitchell Trubisky can get it done. So what he just did was he just shut that completely down because that's the whispers around the National Football League, in the media. Can Mitchell Trubisky have new life in Pittsburgh? Whatever the titles may be in every outlet of the media, what is it? So what do you expect him to say? Well, we have a chance. We got three quarterbacks, and now all of a sudden we're saying he doesn't sound like you have any confidence in Mitchell Trubisky. So I like what Claypool said. I think it's the perfect thing to say. He doesn't have to justify anything or even explain that he understands people's going to – why is he concerned about that? It doesn't matter what's said outside the locker room. He needs to stand on his 2 feet and all 10 toes down in the ground and clamp down and get ready to make a run at it. and live up to those conversations, because there's something that's going on in the meeting rooms and there's something that's going on the practice field that makes him feel comfortable enough to be able to say, in the country, they're going to be one of the best teams in the National Football League. So I don't have a problem with it. I like that he said it. Matter of fact, it gets me excited to hear that he said it, considering all the stuff you are hearing from the media about Mitchell Trubisky, Pickett, as well as Rudolph.
Cordell Stewart, who wins the AFC West this year? You going Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, or Chargers?
Ooh, come on, Zach. Well, I love my boy Russell Wilson. I'm still going to go with the Chiefs. I still think the firepower of number 15 and everybody following him is still pretty good. The Raiders got a chance. Coach McDaniels, he has a way of sometimes showing glimpses of greatness with offenses that he's created. But, of course, they were ran by Tom Brady, and Tim Tebow had a run with him there in Denver in the postseason beating the Steelers. But I think I'm going to do the thing that says this team's been there, done that. I'm going to ride with that team. That's Kansas City.
Make sure you check it out. New pack podcast of the Believe Podcast Network, and that is called On the Edge with Slash, hosted by no other than Cordell Stewart. Cordell, good luck with the podcast. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, Zach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.